Welcome to Einstein's Disease. Through real-world insights and powerful conversations with industry leaders, we help you break past limitations and rethink success. Are you ready to push the boundaries of what's possible?
Good evening. My name's Greg Ellers, and I'm the co-host of Einstein's Disease, where we explore the challenges of overconfidence, static thinking, in personal and in professional growth. Our mission is to help individuals and businesses identify their blind spots, cultivate vulnerabilities, and unlock their full potential. Get ready for the status quo to be discovered and new paths to success. And I'm joined by my co-host, incredible co-host, Kenzie. Kenzie, welcome back. Sorry we missed you last week. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you? How was your holiday weekend?
My holiday weekend was fantastic. The 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays, and this year was absolutely no different. We've got an exciting show today, Kenzie. We've got Ricky Chavez, who is the leader of Team Ricky at Better Homes and Gardens and Real Estate. He is he's a wonderful gentleman. I look forward to introducing him shortly. But a little bit of background, we're going to talk about real estate today, Kenzie, which is exciting because I know that you recently moved and you have aspirations to move into that house with the white picket fence soon. So today's going to be a great conversation for both of us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely one of those people that is like, oh, I'm 25. I'm never going to be able to buy a house. So I am very excited for today's topic.
Absolutely. So without any further ado, Ricky, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Greg, Kenzie, a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Ricky is a retired U.S. Army veteran and host of Battle Ready on Now Media. But we're here today to talk about what we mentioned in the lead was Ricky has Team Ricky Chavez, Better Homes and Gardens. You have a team of real estate agents in the Houston area, Ricky, that speaks seven languages, and you're looking to grow that to be able to address the diverse market of Houston. And we really appreciate you being here today.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of years in real estate. And, you know, having, like you said earlier, I was in the military and I traveled all over the United States, and in different pockets, we had different language barriers. So we try to put the recruiters in those areas. So now I'm trying to do the same thing as far as real estate, because, you know, Houston's very diverse. We want to be able to communicate with them.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned at the outset, and Kenzie and I have talked about this off camera, I mean, interest rates have really changed, making the affordability of a house a little bit of a sticker shock for the purchasers out there, because money's a little bit more expensive than what it was 5 years ago, Ricky. And that's also affecting the sellers' realistic expectations versus unrealistic expectations of the value of their home if they're looking to sell.
Well, you know what? We have a saying out here, you marry the house, you date the rate. Okay. Because the reality is this, if you're out there and you're renting, I mean, that's nothing but interest. If you really look at it, you're giving the money away. So I think the biggest thing is somebody needs to get with a lender, talk with a lender, and manage their cash flow. You know, most people try to go to a lender and say, hey, listen, how much can I afford? The lender is going to tell them $400,000, but they don't want to pay that $400,000 payment monthly. So I always tell them, hey, go tell the lender what's a comfortable monthly a mortgage payment that they can afford, and then go that way. And yeah, the rates are all over the place, but there's still opportunities out here. There's a lot of lenders that are doing creative things, and definitely the builders are.
Absolutely. Kenzie, what when you think about this through the lens of changing interest rates, and you've worked in the past and are surprised by how much interest rates have gone up, how would you like Ricky to help you understand that affordability aspect? I know he mentioned what you can afford, but there's a lot more to it than that, because you've got taxes, you've got insurance, you've got all these other things that comprise purchasing a home, a little bit different than renting. What would you, how would you like Ricky to look at this problem to be able to, before we get to the solutions, for people of the younger generation? Because it is, as you said, it's a daunting task, and in many ways, people don't look at this as something that's attainable like they did, you know, when you were a bit younger.
For sure, yeah. And to be completely transparent, and I would imagine that I speak for a lot of other people in similar age circumstances as me, is that I don't know anything about buying a home. It was something that they never really taught us about. And then you get into interest rates, and if you don't have a home, the only interest rates you're really familiar with at this point are, car payment interest rates. When you purchase a car through a car loan, or student loan interest rates, or credit card interest rates. And so I think a lot of people just assume that interest rates are the same across the board, and that they also don't really know the hidden costs within buying a home. And so for me, when I want to know more about the affordability of a home, it's what exactly is considered that do you pay into with that? Obviously you get your mortgage, but broker fees, and I don't even know what all is associated with it. And so I think that laying out what the costs to buy a home are a big step in the right direction for younger people to understand how to get to the point of affording a home.
Well, I mean, that's an amazing question. It's a really good one, because you're 100% right. You don't know what you don't know, right? So when you don't know it, you don't know what questions to ask. I think it's really important that you find a real estate professional and actually sit down and have a buyer's meeting. People decide to buy homes and they just go headstrong into it and they just bounce all over the place. But if they sit down with a realtor and they do an actual buyer's meeting, you know, the realtor can sit down and tell them, okay, in buying the house, these are the steps, you know? I mean, there's four negotiations. You negotiate the compensation for the realtor, the price of the home, the repairs, and the appraisal. So that goes for the seller and the buyer. And then when you walk through it in buying a home, yeah, there's additional costs, right? So you're gonna put down earnest money, which is typically 1%. You're gonna do option money. And I'm talking about the state of Texas, because all states are different, right? And in some states, they have different offering procedures, right? But in Texas, right, it's option money. Option money, basically what you're doing is you're putting down money so that you can do your due diligence on the home to make sure that's what you want to buy. And that money, if you decide to walk away, goes to the seller, and the earnest money will come back to you as long as you've done everything you're supposed to do on a timely basis. But for the option period, then you're going to have an additional cost. Now you're going to pay for an inspector. An inspection is, you know, anywhere from $400 to $600. So you're going to inspect the house. You're going to look at what the inspection tells you, and then you're going to negotiate repairs with the other side. We can be there for hours talking through that. After that, you know, you'll negotiate that part. Then we'll get to the appraisal part. And then if the house appraises, and I'm talking for a buyer now, if the house appraises at the amount that you listed for, I mean, that you offered or more, you're good. But then if it doesn't appraise, then that's another negotiation. I think Greg said something earlier, and I don't remember if it was on camera or before. Everybody believes their house is worth more than it may be based on the market. I'm that prime example. My wife was a realtor before I was. We were selling a house. I was asking my wife, why is she giving away our house? I don't understand. You know, we live here. We did this. But the market says what the market says, right?
Absolutely. And the other part
is this.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter the value of your house. It's what somebody's willing to pay for it. Sorry, I didn't want to throw that in there.
No, you're 100% right. And as we kind of the challenges as and that's a great answer to Kenzie's question. The challenges are affordability. The challenges are the educational aspect, and you touched on that. In the closing minutes, I want to kind of jump to the other side, and you know, my penny isn't as shiny as you tell me it is, i.e. my house isn't worth as much. And that challenge for that home value is all the more prescient now with interest rates higher because the pool of affordable buyers that can afford a home that might cost $600,000 or $700,000 in Houston has diminished because interest rates now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but lenders really like to stay around 30% of DTI to be able to for a mortgage rate. And people have less of that now that interest rates are 7% when they were three, Ricky. So how do you talk to the people that think their home's worth so much? They don't want to lower the price, but yet they aren't getting any traffic. I mean, that's a classic Einstein's disease, right? As you mentioned, just with you telling your wife initially, why are you giving the house away? But
Right.
that doesn't mean people are going to listen, does it?
Not at all. I think we've talked about this since my joke, everybody has a degree in Google, right? They get online, see Zillow, Villo, all these different sites saying this, that, and the other. And then the other piece is if you think about Houston, Texas, I think there's right at 30 or 40,000 realtors in Houston, Texas. Some do a part-time, some full-time, this, that, and the other. They have different opinions. The market, if you do the numbers, all is done the same way. It's done the same way, but people say different things to get the business or whatever. But I think the biggest challenge is it's really hard to explain to somebody, I understand what you put into the house and I understand all the work and hard everything, but you've hired me to tell you what the market is supporting. Now, understand this. Having been in the army, it's really easy for me to do this because I was in the army at 18 years and I had a 23, 24-year-old lieutenant that was my boss. And I mean, when I joined, he was in grade school. But we talked it through. He made the decision. If he went along with me, good. If he didn't, I had to follow what his rule was. The same way with my sellers now. I can tell you your house is worth 500 based on the numbers, and you tell me it's 550. I got one or two choices. I'm gonna e either support that and market it, and we'll walk through it because we have a plan, or I'm gonna tell you no. I have to be, it's really truthful. I will tell you this, and I know we're running close to time, but I've had a situation and just recently where a couple is splitting. They're getting ready to put their house on the market. The wife knew somebody's brother's uncle's somebody gave her a number on how much the value of their home was. It was 995. I went out there and I told them, hey, I'm sorry, but it's worth 860. That broke their hearts, and we couldn't, it was hard to go through it. So we decided to do an appraisal, and the appraisal was 850. You know what I mean? And then it comes to a different market, right? So we list, but they still didn't want to put the house on the market for what the appraisal said. We got lucky that a cash buyer comes in because a cash buyer doesn't do an appraisal. They didn't do any of that. So we end up selling it for 910. But it's all about situational. So I did that for more of for the sellers. I wanted to manage their expectations, if that makes sense. But even if you have a house appraised for X, if the buyers out there do not want to pay for X, you have to make a decision on where you're at, what's the net you're looking for, do you want to sell or not?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ricky, for giving us more insight on that. We are going to jump off for a quick break. We'll be right back to our millions of viewers. We'll be right back to discuss possible solutions to some of these issues and also other challenges in buying homes right now. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Einstein's disease or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease. If you're just joining us, today we're sitting with Ricky Chavez, a real estate leader and Army veteran who's seen many different market shifts over his time. In the last segment, we explored a lot of pain points many buyers face today. And so before we get into solutions, were there any other challenges or issues that, Greg, you wanted to mention?
No, I think you we did a great job in that first segment, Kenz, and we need to hear about some solutions for our listeners and viewers out there, because it's a challenging market.
Absolutely. And so with that, Ricky, we were just talking about at the end of that last segment about sellers that want more for their home that they're putting on the market, or they expected more than what they were actually being offered or appraised for. And so how do you help your clients adjust expectations on either side of that coin, whether with selling their home or with buying a new one?
Well, let's talk about selling, because right now everything's kind of flat. I mean, the houses are sitting on the market much longer. I mean, during COVID, I know we talked about that a little bit. I mean, houses, I had one house that had 120 offers on one house. I mean, it was just crazy, but also the interest rates were there. And now, and today's market, I mean, I think one of the challenges that the seller has is they feel like the market's the same, and it's not. You know, the houses are not going into multiple offers. There are a few, but those houses, I mean, it's typically the backyard's immaculate. It has a pool. It has everything that, you know, that people want. But the rest of the houses, I mean, we got to take a look at, okay, this is the value of the house. And a good thing is you can go online, and I use in Houston, I use Texas American Title. They have a calculator that can come up with a net sheet. You know, everybody's all about the bottom dollar, right? How do we get to the bottom dollar? So you can put in the numbers, move it around, and that manages the expectation for the seller. The seller knows, worst scenario, if we sell it for this, plus the compensation for the buyer and sellers, any closing costs, possible repairs, what can we possibly come up with? And then they got, at that point, see, okay, is it feasible? Does it make sense to sell, right? The other piece is, it's not like during COVID where you didn't have to do much to the house. I mean, the house could be have a purple wall and you could sell it. Now you have to make sure that the appeal is out there for the buyer to see. The picture's got to be amazing. The outside, the curb appeal, you have to do all those. You might have to pressure wash the driveway, the house. There's all these extra things that you need to do. You need to make sure the house smells good. I mean, you know, there's people that I've had situations where I've taken a buyer into a house and the people were just cooking and the whole house smelled like it. And sometimes the foods aren't the best smelling. So, I mean, you got to really take your time, be prepared for your house. Make sure you understand the neighborhoods, maybe all the amenities, what's going on. That's how you present the house to the buyer. So for the sellers, and you got to do open houses, you got to have people come through. You know, social media, all these things. But I think the biggest challenge out here is price. Everything else can be negotiated. Price is one that's a challenge for a lot of sellers. And they have to find the real estate professional that they trust, that will tell them the truth and make sure they understand, you know, I understand you've been here for 4 years and you bought it at this price. But when you bought it, this was the market. Now this is the market. I have that situation in one of my listings where they bought it for $725, and the base model now is $608. So, I mean, that's emotional. You know, and nobody wants to lose money, right?
For sure.
So when you talk about that, and I think one of the things that when we introduced you at the beginning of the show, you have people that speak on your team. You comprise seven different languages. The diversity in Houston is well known. It's the largest city in America by square feet.
Sure.
So you've got a potential edge to a lot of others because you're meeting the seller where they are, meeting them maybe with their a little bit more on the cultural side, right? It's
Sure.
And that matters a lot. So spend a few minutes and tell us, because you may not get the seller might not be happy with the price they hear or happy with the price that somebody bids for their house. But talk to us a little bit about how you've been able to solve that problem of the cultural differences to be able to help those people that either got into the homes or now are in homes and they look at you as a real strong advocate for them because they see that you understand their culture. And that's really important in the diversity of Texas and really the growing diversity of America.
Well, I think the big thing, the number one step for me and my team is we go in there, we want to get to know them. What are they trying to do? I mean, selling the house is not just that's not only the end game, but what do they want to do? Are they moving out of state? Are they moving to another house? Are they downsizing? Are they buying bigger? We need to make sure all of it fits in because, for example, if they're selling and buying, and maybe they want to buy a smaller house, we want to put this picture together so they understand that this is going to help them get to where they want and their end goal, right? Their end goal. And we also got to look at this. You know, I use lenders a lot. My first license was a mortgage license, but I don't talk money because that is not my expertise now with all the changes. I make sure that I have a partner that is articulate, caring, and available. So that when, and I'll have put them on a speaker, we'll explain it to them, and we'll talk to the clients, and depending on what language. And then you have cultures that they like to negotiate no matter how good the deal is or how bad the deal is. We're negotiating. It doesn't matter, you know? So it's just, I try to build a trust for my clients so they understand that what I'm telling them is just based on my experience out here in these years, and that ultimately I work for them because I might not tell them what they like. And I've had a client leave me because she got real mad at me and she didn't like the way the information I was giving to her. And then a month and a half later, she comes back like, okay, I talked to this other guy. I like him even less, whatever. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, I'm here to help people accomplish whatever goal it is. Maybe they like me, maybe they don't. Usually it always works out. I mean, I've had no bad reviews. I guess that's the military, right? I'm trying to pretty straight.
Absolutely. So, Kenzie, it sounds like from the solution standpoint, as we kind of look at this, the solutions are evolving, not only because of interest rates and expectations, but it sounds to me like one of the things that our viewers and listeners should see here is that it's the partnership that Ricky's talking about. Because as he mentioned, there's a lot more houses on the market. They're staying on longer. So that transactional relationship is becoming I think you called it a dating relationship. It sounds like you're going on a few more dates with your sellers and your buyers than what you were back during COVID, Ricky. It was a kind of maybe one or two dates and done. And now you're forming relationships or your team's forming relationships versus what you did when the demand was much higher and interest rates were lower.
So my logos, you know, it's the Ricky Chavez team, but my moniker is still serving. We're here to serve. I tell my team, if they're chasing money, they can't be on my team. I don't want anybody chasing money. You take care of people. Money's going to come. Things will happen. You just got to have that reputation. That's kind of reputation we look for. So, yes, I can tell you. I mean, my clients call me for the craziest things, right? And I'm available to them because it's an emotional time for them when they're selling their house, when they're buying a house, when they're moving out of city, when they start new jobs. So we try to be as involved as possible.
Listen, we really appreciate you sharing these solutions with us in this block, Ricky. I think it's important for our listeners and viewers to understand that communication and partnership are extremely important. These are the biggest purchases most people make in their life, especially the first time through, because they haven't, as Kenzie talked about in the first segment, most people of the younger generation understand interest rates, what their credit card costs or what their car loan is, or in some cases, what it is for their student loans. So we find ourselves in a position, you're educating them, you're becoming their partner, and we really look forward to hearing in the next block some of the other solutions that that are become successful for your company and your team. And with that, we're going to cut away to our sponsors and to our millions of viewers out there. We'll be back shortly. Thank you very much.
Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Einstein's Disease or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease, providing tools to help you maximize your future by sharing new processes of saying yes and no versus assuming you already know everything. I'm Kenzie Terpstra, joined with my co-host, Greg Ehlers. Greg.
Thanks, Kenzie. We're back with Ricky. You know, it's been really a rich conversation because it's candid, Ricky. And a lot of, as you mentioned, one of the big words when you're buying and selling a house, there's a lot of emotion attached to it. And in the era that we're in with AI, as you mentioned, everybody has a PhD from Dr. Google. There's a lot of challenges that you're facing because of technology, specifically AI, and a lot more potential for some of your potential clients or sellers to be misrepresented in some information they receive if they happen to be engaged with an AI agent that they actually think is a real person, giving them misinformation about maybe the value of their home or what they're able to afford. And those are challenges that you really have never faced before because they can look and sound a lot like you. And your agents are out there having to work not only in trying to help somebody buy or sell a home, but on the educational aspect that, you know, Kenzie brought up, teaching people about how to buy a home. Now you're teaching them a little bit about the misconceptions that might be arising because of technology. And I was interested to understand how you and your team are seeing this and what your thoughts are on being able to be a little bit forward in trying to help your clients, buyers and sellers, to be more aware and be a little bit more suspicious when they are not actually engaged in a face-to-face conversation with yourself or your team.
Well, I know that we do a lot of face-to-face. I mean, like, go to the house, talk to them. We want them to see us when we talk to them. I mean, they can manage their emotions by our emotions and our excitement, no matter which way it is. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety going on when people are either buying or selling. So talking over the phone sometimes isn't the solution. And for that reason, you know, we get to not worry about all the people calling them. And like you said, the AI, I haven't had so far really experienced any of the AI stuff as far as calling. I mean, I have rental properties. People call me from my houses all the time, but it's just, there's a lot of companies out there just trying to buy houses. Everybody's trying to buy it at a lesser cost. Everybody's got their, the numbers are their mathematical formula, I mean, for how they want to buy. We just got to let everybody know what's going on, what their price, what the value of their home is. And we need to make sure we shift the focus on what everybody else says. You know, we give them papers in their hands. Here's what it is. Here's going what's going on. I mean, sometimes we'll just take them out and go look at their competition. I've done that. I can't even tell you how many times. I'll be at a house on a listing appointment talking with them, and they're like looking at the pictures and this, that, and the other of the other houses. Oh, my house is nicer than this and nicer than that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go. So what do you mean? Yeah, I made an appointment for 45 minutes after I got here in case you wanted to go see these two houses. And we get in the car and go. We go look at them. And then they're like, oh, crap. Maybe mine doesn't look quite as good. Maybe mine's missing this. You know what I mean? I think even in coaching, right, I can tell somebody you're horrible, but if you don't think you're horrible, it doesn't matter. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to tell them, what my thought on the house. I'm like, hey, let's look at the competition. And that kind of does, that's an eye opener right there.
What do you think about that, Kenzie? I mean, a generation removed, a few generations removed, it seems that it's harder to get people of the younger generation to engage in those face-to-face meetings as much as they want to do something over text or over phone. So how do those solutions sound to you? Because it's... at the end of the day, you're the customer or the potential customer, right? And that's the challenge that Ricky has.
100%. I definitely get where you're coming from with younger people. We're always on our screens, and I'm the same. I hate calling places. I will do anything before I have to call someplace. But before I call someplace, I'd much rather go in person. And that may just be me personally, because I'm a face-to-face people person, but it's a lot more personal when you can sit down and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody. Obviously, distance has its limitations for some things, and a phone call does work better, but you can't know someone and trust someone with something as big as helping you buy your home that ideally would be your home for many years to come. And you want to be able to know that person and talk to that person. And so I do think that Ricky's solution of having that personal connection in person, face-to-face conversations would definitely help younger people looking to buy a home right now.
And Ricky, do you talk to us a little bit about on this solution side? Are you seeing a lot more younger people? Because we do get statistics that show that people don't feel that home purchases are attainable. How are you when somebody comes in, Kenzie walks into your office and says, I'm looking to buy a house here in Houston. How are you seeing the younger generation? Are they believing they can buy a home? Are they interested? Where it is, and when you find them in a position where their home desires are aspirational versus what they make, how do you go about that? It's a couple of questions, but you know, I give you a chance to answer them all.
Here, I'm gonna go in two phases, all right? It goes back to you don't know what you don't know, right? So I've just recently had a couple of houses, a couple of clients that are late 20s, early 30s. They're like, well, hey, listen, Ricky, can you help me find a rental? I mean, I'm looking about, you know, $2,500 to $3,000. They want what they want because they can afford it. So then we started talking about that a little bit. And then I started, understand this. I have a 28-year-old and I have a 40-year-old. I have kids in between, right? So I have kids on that age. So I talk to them like, I let them know, listen, man, I'm going to talk to you like I'm your dad. I just, not to minimize your education or anything else, but I want to tell you what I would tell my kids. Because I want somebody to help my kids like I help others. So I'll take them out. We'll look at a couple things. You know, because they want maybe $400,000 and the house is what they want, but the payment's not what they want. But they're renting for a 1,500 square foot home, 3-bedroom, 2-bath for $2,300. Now I can take them to the same size house that they're renting and they can buy it. I just got to find them the right area. You understand? And a lot of the new construction, that's where I've spent a lot of time in. they buy interest rates in blocks. So instead of the seven, the house I just closed recently, their first year is 2.99, second year is 3.99, and then it's 4.99 for the rest. The lender helps with closing costs. So it's all about the story. I want to find out what my buyer's story is. What is it? And then I try to find what matches them. And the one thing you'll get from me, which is kind of, Ricky, what's your opinion? I really don't have an opinion because I don't have your finances. I'm going to provide you the information based on what you've told me that matches it. You have to make the decision at that point. But I can give them all the players, the lender, the title company, the inspector, whatever you need to help you make the decision, because they're the subject matter experts. I'm the expert in the real estate part and finding and negotiating. I hope that answered that piece. The other piece is, I think the younger people, they make a lot more money than I made when I was their age. And I don't know that they know the value of the money as well as, I'm making $70,000, but I got this and this going out. Can I afford it? They will pay $900,000 a month for a car, but not pay $2,400 for their own home. So, I mean, we talk through that in a reality check. You know, I'm not trying to tell them I'm passing judgment. I'm opening up. I want you to hear it from a different kind of angle so that, okay, maybe I can get a house. I was asked one time, what's more important to you, Ricky, the house you live in, the car you drive? And I asked them the same thing. Cars is run around, their status quo, whatever, but the house is where they go to every day.
That's a great way to look at it. The whole cars go around, but the house stays where it's at. And I can fully attest that you hit the nail on the head. I know multiple people that have $600-$800 car payments. And me personally, I'm like, man, I wish my rent was that. Like, you're paying so much money into a car payment when you could be investing it into something such as a mortgage or a down payment on a home, that sort of
thing.
So that was a great point to leave off this segment on. We're going to jump off for another quick short break before we come in for the final segment and wrap up our conversation here with Ricky. We'll be right back. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Einstein's Disease or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows live or on demand anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease, providing tools to help you maximize your future. I'm Kenzie Terpstra. Myself and our co-host Greg Ellers are joined today by Ricky Chavez, team lead of the Ricky Chavez team at Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. We've really talked a whole lot about real estate, really buying homes, selling, hardships, solutions, that sort of thing. But now we want to take a little bit of time to really get to know you, Ricky. And so, you were an Army recruiter. Was the plan always to get involved with serving in some way, or did that kind of fall into your lap?
You know, I went to college right out of high school, but I wasn't the most studious. So, I mean, my dad retired from the Army. I retired from the Army, and my son actually retires in 14 months. So that's kind of our family business. And so we serve. Then I went to FedEx, and, you know, I said I served the corporate because I was an HR director at a couple companies, and we helped the employees. So when I retired in 2016, I'd like to say something spectacular about how I came to real estate, but the truth of the matter is my wife tricked me into it because she was doing it and she wanted me to help her. So that's how I ended up here. Yeah. But it's been fun. It's probably the most fulfilling position I've ever had because it's just a lot of people, it's emotional time for them.
100%. Being involved in a really important part of a lot of people's lives, I can only imagine. And so what would you say was the biggest thing that you learned when you first came into real estate? What was the one thing that kind of was like, I never thought of that before?
I think it goes back to what I said in one of the earlier things is, you know, the emotional attachment a person has to their home, you know, it's mine. I love it. I think it's worth this. And then the reality is, oh crap, it's not worth as much as I thought. That's a shock.
For sure. For sure. And so you also are a Now Media TV host. You host your own show. Right. And I totally stalked your LinkedIn yesterday ahead of this. And I noticed in there that you have something related to reinvention and resilience. And so you obviously had a couple of career changes there. And so sure. How did you reinvent yourself for each of those kind of changes in path?
I was an Army recruiter. Well, I was in the Army. I was in the infantry. I did my things. I ended up in recruiting command. I think I helped a lot of people in a lot of areas join the military and find out, you know, what they didn't know about the Army, because nobody wakes up in the morning and want to go to the Army. It's a recruited Army, right? So we went out there. I've been thrown out of every kind of house you could think of, from the country to the city to the suburbs. You know, everybody's happy with it unless so, you know. And then I got into I went to FedEx, and then I learned how to help the employees. It was totally different. I can remember, I still talk to one of my old bosses, and she laughed at me because when she told me that there was sick time, Ricky, go home, you're sick. I'm like, no, she goes, you have sick time. I didn't even know what that was, you know? So it's this all learning and learning. In 2016, I was working in Boston, but living in Houston. So I commuted, and I had all of New England, and I did a lot of traveling, and I got a chance to meet a lot of people in that area. Different mindsets everywhere you go. But when I got into real estate down here and got real involved, I do a lot with veterans, you know, because I'm sure you know, 22 veterans commit suicide daily. So I do a lot of it with the veterans in the community, do a lot with the Miracle League here, which is the Kids with Disabilities baseball team. So it's just getting involved with the community, and then the real estate just kind of happened, you know what I mean? And then so you're helping people deciding what's best for them without knowing that it was even available.
Absolutely, yeah. And then I love that. I love a good community story and helping people. I'm a storyteller till the end of time. So it's great to hear that kind of thing. And so with that, with your show and mentioning resilience, how do you help people find that shard of resilience in themselves? What is the best way, in your opinion, for people to become more resilient, I guess is a better way to phrase that?
You know, I had, on my show, it talks about reinventing yourself and, you know, moving on. One of the ladies on my show was an abused spouse at 27. She went back to school and all by herself. And she has a PhD now, married to a surgeon, making an enormous amount of money. But at one time she didn't. And she said, all you have is yourself. And the difference is she did it on her own, and some can. But out now, there's so many solutions out here. There's so many places to go. We got the Urban League. You got the workforce. You got places out there that can guide you. And then you have people like me. I make the joke is, I got a guy. You ask me about building a pool, I got a guy. I still have people call me and send me resumes about help with jobs, and I send it to the people I know. You know, I know a lot of people in staffing. It's I try to figure out what's out there and what we can do. There's a really cool book. It's called The Go-Giver. If you ever get a chance to read it, it's all about putting people together without worrying about you getting anything out of it. You know what I mean? So I connect people. I like to think that that's important. And so it helps them. And when I get a call back, man, that was a great person you introduced me to, and they've helped me this. That's fulfilling to me. You know, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, for sure. And so obviously you've talked to a lot of people, you come into contact with a lot of people. Sure. How would our viewers get a hold of you or contact you?
So the Ricky Chavez team of Cypress, it's on, you can Google that. I have the Ricky Travis teams on Facebook. I've been on Instagram. I like to say I'm really good with social media. Thank God my daughter works with me and she bosses me around it. She does all my social media. But you can reach me there. You can call me 832-541-7545. I think also if you go to the Now Media site on Battle Ready, I think there's my contact information in there also.
And then what days do your Battle Ready episodes air, if in case other people wanted to jump in and catch those?
Yeah, sure. They air live 5 o'clock on Thursdays, but like you guys, we're on Roku, iHeartRadio. I think we're Apple TV. I've got syndicated release. So if you look at the site, it shows everything that where we're at. So it's pretty amazing. And the guests I've had are unbelievable. Great stories.
Perfect. I know what I'll be doing later tonight when I get bored. Greg, sure. Did you have any other last questions for Ricky or comments?
I think you did a great job, and I know why you're my co-host, Kenzie. But one thing, Ricky, you've got 10 people out there that are trying to figure out where they want to go in life. They've had some success. They've had some hardship. What's the one bit of advice you'd give them all?
Some people concentrate on what they like and maybe not what they have the aptitude for. So what that means by that is if you find out what your aptitude is, you'll do better at it, which means successes, which will make you happier. Instead of chasing something you think you like, but maybe it's not there for you. Find out what your aptitude is and see how it works.
Absolutely. That's a good bit of advice. Kenzie, it's been a great show today. Ricky, we really appreciate you being on our show. Kenzie, I can't thank you enough for the way that you got a lot out of Ricky today for our viewers. There was something there for everyone. And I think the most important thing is for the young people that are looking at homes, Ricky gave some great insight to the ability to find affordable homes when many things seem insurmountable, when you just listen to what you may see on social media. It's very important to be able to go out there and actually sit down with someone, understand what is really the situation, and hopefully find that opportunity to live part of the American dream, which is to be a homeowner.
Absolutely. I definitely, literally in the first block, I said, I'm one of those people that will probably never buy a home. And this entire conversation has made me much more hopeful for that. So thank you, Ricky. I appreciate it for lightning.
No, you'll do it. I'm sure you'll do it.
And with that, we're going to wrap this week's show up. We greatly appreciate having Ricky as a guest today. Kenzie, I look forward to seeing you next week. I know we've got a great show in store for our viewers and listeners. And with that, I will sign off. Good night, Kenzie.
See you next week, Greg.
Bye-bye.